Krimi-Blog-Podcast, Ausgabe Nummer 2. Schönen guten Tag, ich freue mich, dass Sie reinhören. In dieser Ausgabe gibt es ein Interview mit Peter Robinson. Der britisch-kanadische Autor Peter Robinson war in der letzten Woche auf Lesereise in Deutschland, um sein neues Buch »Kein Rauch ohne Feuer« vorzustellen, das bei Ullstein erschienen ist. Ich hatte die Gelegenheit, mit ihm in Hamburg zu sprechen und ich habe ihn gefragt, natürlich auf Englisch, wie er denn auf die Idee gekommen ist, sein Buch mit einer Szene zu beginnen, in der es um zwei ausgebrannte Hausboote geht, auf denen dann auch zwei Leichen gefunden werden. Und das hat er mir geantwortet.
Well, I saw a little canal that looked like the right place to have these boats on it. But as far as the fire was concerned, my stepbrother in the UK is a firefighter, so he invited me down to the station and introduced me to an expert investigator who sort of walked me through a scene and told me what, you know, they were doing and everything. So I got quite an education in fire investigation.
There has been much technical improvement in the police work in these last years. So they have DNR and all these things. How do you think, does this influence your work as a writer, as a crime fiction writer?
Well, it has to do. I mean, you can't ignore the technology, but it's a two-edged thing. I mean, in some ways, it makes it more difficult for crime writers that everybody has a handy, everybody is on the internet, you know, so it's very, everybody has to be in touch with everybody all the time. You can't have the isolation. But at the same time, all these things leave traces too, so it makes it easier sometimes to find out who people have been calling, what they've been doing. But it does make it hard for the crime writer who is not a trained scientist. I mean, you know, I started writing because I was good at arts, not sciences. So this is just research and background that I have to do.
Learned that you've begun writing with poetry, and how do you come to crime fiction then?
Well, I sort of gave up poetry. It wasn't really going anywhere, and I probably wasn't very good at it. So I got interested in reading crime fiction. I mean, I think that's what started me writing it, was reading Chandler and Simenon and Ross MacDonald and Chauvel and Valu and, you know, other writers, mostly European. Nicholas Freeling was another one, European and American. And I saw that they could do a lot of things with a crime novel, and I thought it would be really interesting to try in my part of the country, where there really wasn't anyone at the time. So I did.
So habe ich ihn natürlich auch gefragt. I've asked him if how he works about his two plots he have in many books of his work. For example, we find it in Playing with Fire. There is the tragic life of Tina Aspen, a drug addict, and there is the story of an art fake is going on in this book. So I've asked him if he has a draft for this, and this is what he answered.
No, I don't have a draft, and I'll just sort of write through to the end and maybe do more drafts after the first one and change things if they don't work. But I find I usually know if it's time to switch scene, if it's time to move from Tina's life to Thomas McMahon's and from Banks to Annie. And, you know, usually there's a rhythm there that you sense when it's time to move. But it can always be changed, you know, later. Computers make that very easy.
There's such a lot of music in your books. Banks always listened to classical music, like jazz. Is this also important for you as a writer, in the sense of rhythm music? Is this influencing you?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes the music reflects the kind of scenes that it's in, you know, or it reflects what Banks is doing. If he wants to relax, he may listen to Bill Evans and drink single malt whiskey. If he wants to stay awake late at night in the car, he may listen to The Clash very loud. So it has that function. But sometimes it's like a background to a scene and a landscape, a mood. Often music can set a mood. So I'm always sort of looking out for things that either fit or contrast the mood of the story. But it is Banks's interest, and it comes from me. I mean, I have an interest in music too.
From my point of view, I think it seems your novels become darker and darker and very sinister. As I think of Aftermath, which was a very sinister novel, I think, I don't want to break a secret, but the end of Playing with Fire is all, even very dark and sinister. So is this correct?
Yeah, I think it's because I'm getting old. Shades of mortality. Yes, it's true, and the one after Strange Affair is also probably even darker. So I don't know how dark it can get without being completely black. But I try to lighten it up sometimes. I mean, I think a lot of people miss that there is some humour in the books. It's very droll, it's very Yorkshire humour. And Banks does have successful moments and moments of happiness, and I'd like him to have more, but it's just hard to work out sometimes.
I also asked him if we ever could expect a hardball novel from him. We've been through dark novels, and this is what she answered.
No, it's not my style, and it really is a matter of writing style. I can't write in the American way. I mean, I know that Chandler had an English education and managed to, along with Hammett, practically invent the hardboiled style, and Hemingway is a big influence in that sense. But I really, I grew up with the English style, you know, I grew up with the Victorian novelists. So a writing style like P.D. James's is a bit closer to mine. I find that if there are too many one-word sentences and too many one-sentence paragraphs, I get turned off very quickly. And I think too many writers today are writing what I would call not sentences anymore. I mean, these things are not but by any stretch of the imagination, sentences.
Yes. As far as I know, you live in Canada since more than 20 years.
Yeah.
So, but you're writing actually about the UK, a rural setting in the UK. Do you need this distance to write about these places?
I find it helps. I mean, it certainly helps me being the kind of writer I am. I know different kind of writers. You know, I have some friends who really have to be in the place they're writing about or they can't do it. I like to use my imagination, and I think a little bit of distance kind of helps, gives me the imaginative freedom to do that. I don't feel tyrannized by the place. If I'm there, I need to look and see if everything's right and, you know, be meticulous. If I'm a little distant, especially with an invented place that I can make my own geography, then I feel I have a lot more freedom that I will give the general idea of the place, the mood of the place. So I know where all the individual places are, but as a whole, it only exists in my imagination.
So this is this is because Eastvale is fictional.
Yeah, because I mean it's based on towns like Richmond or Ripon in North Yorkshire, and people recognise them, you know, quite easily. And the other places, the other villages and locations are all Yorkshire Dales locations, but I've just moved them into my own place.
But there are also real places like Leeds in Aftermath. That's a main place where this takes place.
Yeah.
So this, you mix it up.
Usually, when it comes to the cities, Leeds and London, you know, they are real places, and I will write about them as real places. So I mean, this is partly to make Eastvale seem realer by putting it next to real places. It's partly because a city is big enough that you can be a little vague. You can actually invent streets in a city that don't exist and have them be the way you want them to be, and most people won't notice.
Have you ever planned to write about Canada, or a novel set in Canada or other places?
Not a novel. I've done a lot of short stories that have been set in Canada and other places in North America. They will be. And one of the Banks novels, Banks goes to Canada for about a third of the book. He's in Toronto. That would be hard to repeat. So I don't have any plans to do that at the moment. But as I say, you know, occasionally when people ask me for short stories, I often set them in Toronto or in North America.
So they have, I think it's the 16th book about Banks you're working on. It's called Peace of My Heart.
It's just finished, yeah. At the printers.
I see. You still like him, or how many novels do you think you will write about him?
I don't know. I'm not Yeah, I'm still liking him, and of course he's been through a lot lately, so there's still a lot to do with him as a character. He still has to get over things and grow in some ways and move on. I think as long as I have enough complexity in the character and enough change and growth in his life, then I can keep writing about him. If he stays the same, you know, for 2 or 3 books and that's it, the end, then I would probably stop. But I haven't reached that point yet.
I also asked him, what do you think crime fiction should or could do? I gave him a phrase from David Pease, who said that crime fiction should not only be entertaining, but should document the real crime, the real murder. And this is what Peter Robinson said about this.
Entertain. It should. And I think any writer who sets out to write a novel that doesn't entertain the readers is asking for trouble. Why would you want to read something that's, you know, boring and not entertaining, or just rubbing your nose in a message, or preaching to you, or showing off with fancy prose or something? Well, what's the point? I mean, I think most writers, not just crime writers, whether you're talking about Charles Dickens or Hardy or the Brontes or Graham Greene, set out to write stories that entertain. They maybe did more. You know, perhaps readers learned from them. Perhaps readers learned a little about the human condition and, you know, about society from them, but they were also entertained, and you can't forget that.
So, in Canada and United States, there's just published the 15 books, I think. It's A Strange Affair,
yes.
And then will be A Piece of My Heart. So,
In June.
Could you tell us something about this next books about Banks?
Just very briefly, in Strange Affair, which is the one immediately after Playing with Fire, and in that book, Banks' brother goes missing. We've heard about his brother on several occasions. They don't get on, they're not close. But he feels obliged to try and find him when he disappears. So the book is about Banks sort of looking for his brother, and at the same time discovering what kind of person his brother was too, almost sort of living his life for him. That's the idea of it. And the one after that, Piece of My Heart, is something very dear to my heart, because I've used the past before in A Dry Season. I used the war in Yorkshire, and I think the summer that never was, 1965, when Banks' school friend disappeared. What was it? And Piece of My Heart begins with at the end of a rock festival in 1969, and someone is found dead when everyone has left. And so there's a whole lot of the book that's set in 1969, investigated by Detective Chadwick, not Banks, because he was too young. And in the present, a music journalist is murdered, and Banks is investigating that murder, and the two cases connect over the years.
Last question. I've read that you were a student of Joyce Carol Oates when you came to Canada. In the 70s, I think it was. So, did she ever affected your work as a writer?
Well, she did. I wasn't writing prose then. I was writing poetry. But Joyce's approach was to encourage you as a writer, not just as a poet or as a novelist. Probably the greatest lesson that I learned from her was to believe in myself as a writer and to persist with it when sometimes things don't go well, sometimes for years, you know, nobody knows you. But I always knew I wanted to do it, and Joyce's course gave a kind of validation for that yes, it's a valid thing to do. You shouldn't swerve, you should stay with it. And she was very encouraging about my poetry.
Okay, thank you very much. Soweit das Interview mit Peter Robinson und soweit auch der Krimi-Blog-Podcast für heute. Ich bedanke mich für Ihr Zuhören. Ich hoffe, Sie konnten alles gut verstehen, zumindest mein schlechtes Englisch im Gegensatz zu seinem guten Englisch. Alle weiteren Informationen zu Kein Rauch ohne Feuer finden Sie natürlich auch unter krimiblog.de. Das Buch ist übrigens auf der Krimi-Weltbestenliste für den Februar auf Platz 1 vertreten. Das heißt, wir werden sehr wahrscheinlich in den nächsten Tagen und Wochen noch einiges mehr über und von Peter Robinson hören. Soweit der Krimi-Blog für heute. Ich wünsche Ihnen noch einen schönen Tag.